For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah, house of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 12 of the series.
We looked at principles and patterns in the scripture by which we can understand the way in which the God of Israel is going to bring about the end of the exile of Jacob, the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel, the uniting of Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, Northern Kingdom being Ephraim, also known as the House of Joseph, the Southern Kingdom, the House of Judah, in fulfillment of the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 28, in the end of days. And by looking at the principles and the patterns, we can see the way in which this will happen by the Messiah in events that are associated with messianic times. And so then in the last part, we looked at the events that are associated with the end of the exile of Jacob, sometimes called the Greater Exodus. And we saw that it's associated or linked with the nations dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem through the creation of a Palestinian state, whereby they want to have East Jerusalem as its capital, that this will bring about the judgment of the nations. And in judging the nations, central in the judgment of all nations is the fall of an end-time entity called in the scriptures the daughter of Babylon, that has the characteristics of the historical Babylon that was under the rulership of King Nebuchadnezzar, but is an end-time nation, which I believe is the United States of America. Yet Babylon is a system that is financial, that is political, and that is religious. And so the different elements and aspects of the Babylonian system will fall as well. And that these events are associated with messianic times, which the Bible uses the term the day of the Lord. And so we looked at the day of the Lord and the prophecies that are associated with the day of the Lord as it relates to this matter. And just as we see in Genesis, in the creation pattern, that evening and morning is a day, that we then can understand that that's prophetic, or a prophetic foreshadowing of the eschatological day of the Lord, which is the prophetic Sabbath, which is the messianic era, that it is 1,000 years long, and that the day of the Lord is going to begin with destruction, with darkness, as a thief in the night. And what we call this period of time is the tribulation, or the great tribulation period. So the tribulation, great tribulation, is a part of the day of the Lord. It's the darkness part of the day of the Lord, and the darkness ends with the breaking of the day, and Yeshua's setting his feet down on the Mount of Olives is at the dawn or the break of the day. And then we have a time of light where he rules and reigns in his kingdom kingdom and teaches the Torah to all nations from Jerusalem, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, because the Torah is called light. And we can see that the Torah is called light from Proverbs in chapter 6 and verse 23. And so the light part of the day of the Lord is when the Messiah is going to set up his kingdom and he's going to be teaching his Torah to all nations. And so then in looking at a central way in which the nations are going to be judged, we look that in Zechariah 14 verse 12, we're told that the judgment that comes upon the nations that fought against Jerusalem, that their flesh will consume away where they stand upon their feet, their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth, describing chemical, biological, but primarily nuclear warfare. And so this is a conflict which the Bible calls the controversy of Zion, and it's a spiritual conflict between Jacob and Esau. In Genesis chapter 25, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob, but instead of just giving it up and leaving it be, Esau wants the blessing and the benefit of having that birthright. And so we see in the blessings that Jacob gave to his children that the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, was given the blessing of the firstborn, Genesis 48. And in Genesis chapter 49, Judah was given the blessing of the kingship. That here in the end of days, Esau is fighting with Jacob and he wants to take back his birthright and he wants to rule and reign, have in essence the power of the kingship. And so the mountains of Israel, Judea, Samaria, or the West Bank, that is the primary area where we have the land inheritance of the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and Judah was given Jerusalem. So when Esau is trying to make the claim that the mountains of Israel belongs to him, now the mountains of Israel includes the West Bank, but extends into Jerusalem, as we see in the prophecy of Ezekiel 35 and Ezekiel 36, where Esau is trying to say that the mountains of Israel belongs to him. What's going on here is that Esau is trying to claim the birthright from Joseph in the kingship from Judah. So Jacob, Joseph, and Judah together are in a spiritual battle or conflict with Esau, wherein the nations are siding with Esau that the mountains of Israel should be divided, that there should be a Palestinian state based upon 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. And in doing so, Esau is causing the nations to side with him, the one that's ultimately orchestrating all this, causing the rebellion of the nations. We know in the scriptures is Lucifer, the devil, Hasatan, the adversary, who Esau is siding along with the nations in opposition to Yeshua, who made covenant with Abraham, as Paul explained in Galatians 3:16, where we can cross-reference what he's stating there with Genesis 17, verse 7, wherein Yeshua made promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would fulfill the promise that he initially made with Abraham that was conferred and reiterated to Isaac and Jacob. And so we're understanding these things as it relates to getting a perspective of how is the greater Exodus going to come about in the generation that sees Messiah set his feet down on the Mount of Olives. Well, in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2, it says, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they, that is the nations, will be in the siege against Judah and against Jerusalem. So wanting to divide the land of Israel in the city of Jerusalem is the nations sieging Judah and Jerusalem. And so we're told here that the Almighty is making Jerusalem a cup of trembling. Well, the word cup is the Strong's number 5592 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary, and it's the Hebrew word saf. He's going to make Jerusalem a saf. Well, saf in the book of Exodus is translated as bowl or basin, but the word saf also means a threshold. So we could understand that the Almighty is saying that he's going to make Jerusalem a threshold. In other words, he's designated the boundaries of Jerusalem and he's declared that Jerusalem is his. And if you cross the boundary and you want to take Jerusalem for for years and not acknowledging the God of Israel, not acknowledging the Messiah of Israel, not acknowledging the one that made covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even Yeshua the Messiah, that you're invading his house and he's going to judge the thief that's coming into his house to Jerusalem and crossing the threshold. And so one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet is the Hebrew letter Shin. It most resembles the letter W in the English alphabet. And so the Hebrew letter, you can either put a reference mark, it's called a dagesh, and in the Hebrew letter Shin that looks like a W, if you put the dot on the left-hand side of the letter is pronounced Sin. But if you put the dot on the right-hand side, it's pronounced Shin. And this dot is called a dagesh. And so if we look at the dot being on the right-hand side in the letter being pronounced as a shin, if we look at the physical geography of Jerusalem from an aerial view, we will see that Jerusalem encompasses three valleys. On the right-hand side, you have the Kidron Valley. On the left-hand side, you have the Hinnom Valley. And in the middle is the Tyropian Valley. And so if you draw in where these valleys would be, it's going to form the Hebrew letter shin. And then if you plot where the temple is, the Temple Mount, it's going to be associated with the dagesh on the right-hand side. And so topographically, from an aerial viewpoint, Jerusalem is physically laid out like the Hebrew letter Shin. And the Hebrew letter Shin is one of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet that represents or stands for the God of Israel and his name. And so this is how that Jerusalem is a threshold of the God of Israel, because we're told in 2 Kings in chapter 21 and verse 4, we've told the following about Jerusalem, that King Manasseh built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, "In Jerusalem will I put my name." So he put his name in Jerusalem. In what way? Through the Hebrew letter Shin, as we just saw from the aerial photograph. And so now in Joel, in chapter 3, verse 2, it talks about the nations are going to divide the land. And then it says in Joel chapter 3, verse 14, "Multitudes, multitudes," and it's translated as the Valley of Decision, "for the day of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision." So the prophecy says that as the day of the Lord comes, that the nations and even individuals are going to have to decide where they stand. And the decision is, are you standing with the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Are you standing on Mount Zion, or are you opposing the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Are you advocating, and do you desire to see a Palestinian state based upon 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital? Well, in Joel chapter 3, verse 14, where it says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the Valley of Decision," the word decision here is the Strong's number 2742 in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, and it's the Hebrew word harutz. And one of the meanings of harutz is it's translated as a threshing instrument, because a threshing instrument makes a cut and severs one from another. That's why it's also understood as a strict decision, because when you make a decision, you decide, I'm doing this instead of that. And so multitudes, multitudes making a decision, multitudes, multitudes being threshed. And so the decision is, do you believe the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And are you going to acknowledge the sovereignty and the kingship of the God of Israel? Or are you going to stand opposed and in defiance to the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because the scriptures say in Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 through 3, that believing in the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the comfort of Zion. Isaiah chapter 51, 1, "Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord, you that want to follow after the ways of the God of Israel," which is following his Torah, which is believing that Yeshua is the Messiah. Look unto Abraham your father, meaning the covenant that was made with Abraham that went to Isaac and Jacob. Before in doing so, or standing upon and believing that covenant that is tried and tested, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, that is how the Lord will comfort Zion. What is the comfort of Zion? The comfort of Zion is the end of the exile of the house of Jacob. And so believing in the covenant, standing for the covenant, is the way in which his people are going to be comforted. And so we can see in Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort ye my people. Isaiah 51, verse 3, for the Lord will comfort Zion. Comfort ye my people. The comfort is associated with Zion, and the comfort is associated with the end of the exile. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 13. Then will the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. I will turn their mourning, that's exile, into joy. That's the end of the exile. I will comfort them. The comfort is the end of the exile of the house of Jacob. We can see this by looking more closely at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him. So the one that gathers him is going to be the Messiah. And Yeshua said in John chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14, that he is the good shepherd. So he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd. The one that gathers is going to gather as a shepherd. And the one that's going to gather as a shepherd, that's Yeshua the Messiah, is the one that scattered. And the one that scattered because the people broke the covenant at Mount Sinai, which means if the one that gathers is a shepherd, that is the one then that entered into covenant with his people where they broke the covenant. He scattered them. That the one that gathers is also the one that scattered. That would be Yeshua the Messiah. And from this, we can see that he also gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. Now, Jeremiah 31, verse 12. Therefore, they will come and sing in the height of Zion. He that scattered Israel will gather. They will sing in the height of Zion. Then it says in Jeremiah 31, verse 13, I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them. So the word comfort is going to be associated with the end of the exile. And continuing on in Jeremiah chapter 31, we see in verse 15 that Rachel is weeping for her children. She's refused to be comforted because they were not. See, as long as Rachel's children are in exile, Rachel was not comforted. But then Rachel's told prophetically in Jeremiah 31, verse 16, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. Rachel's told to quit weeping, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they will come again from the land of the enemy, from exile. Verse 17, there is hope in your end, says the Lord, that your children will come again to their border. So the comfort of Rachel prophetically is when her children come to their own border. They're no longer in exile. And so where we see the double comfort mentioned in Isaiah 40 verse 1, comfort ye my people, that this proclamation of comfort is going to be associated with Elijah's ministry and thus Elijah's message. Because after it says in Isaiah 40 verse 1, comfort ye my people, it says in verse 3, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So this is the verse in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3 that's quoted of John the Baptist or Yochanan the Immerser from Matthew in chapter 3. So if we look at Matthew in chapter 3 and then we start reading in verses 1 through 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so referring to John in his ministry, it says in verse 3, for this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, in the birth of Yochanan the Immerser, or John the Baptist, in Luke chapter 1, in verses 16 and 17, we can see his ministry. It says, "In many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit, in the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That is the coming of the Messiah. So then Yeshua was asked about this in Matthew chapter 17, verse 10. The disciples asked Yeshua, "Why do the scribes," or we would say today the rabbis, "teach that Elijah must come first or precede the coming of the Messiah?" And Yeshua answered and said, "Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things." That's future. He will come. And when he comes, he's going to restore. "But I say to you that Elijah has come already." Then the disciples understood that he spoke of John the Baptist, Yochanan the Immerser. And so Elijah and his ministry precedes the coming of the Messiah. And Messiah is coming to forgive the sins of his people, and he's coming to end their exile. He's coming to fulfill the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the ending of the exile is associated with comfort. So Isaiah 40 verse 1, comfort ye my people. And then what's said about that comfort, Isaiah 40 verse 3, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, this is the ministry of Elijah. And so speaking about the comfort that is associated with the ministry of Elijah, it says in Isaiah chapter 40 verses 10 and 11, the Lord will come with a strong hand, his arm will rule for him. And so the one that's coming with a strong hand and his arm is going to rule, that's the Messiah. His reward is with him, the reward of the Messiah. See, this verse is quoted of Yeshua in Revelation in chapter 1 verse 7. "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kings of the earth shall wail because of him. Amen." And then it goes on to say that his reward is with him. And so regarding the comforting of his people through the ministry of Elijah, wherein the Messiah is going to come and perform his work, which is to Isaiah 40 verse 11, to feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs. The work of the Messiah is to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. And so Elijah's ministry, or Elijah's message, is to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And Elijah's message is expressed in calling the people to come out of mixed worship. Babylon is mixed worship. The golden calf is mixed worship. The sin of Jeroboam, where he tried to worship the God of Israel, but he set up alternative places of worship in the north of Israel, in Dan, and then in Bethel, that this is mixed worship, and calling them to the Torah as the Torah was given, calling them to follow the God of Israel by following his Torah. And so that's one element and aspect of Elijah and his ministry. And the second element is to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah, who's going to come and gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. So we can see both aspects of this ministry in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 30 and 31, where it says, "Elijah said to all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him." And it says in the translation that he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And so the word repaired is the Strong's number 7495 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. It's the Hebrew word rapha, which is often translated as to heal. And so Elijah healed the altar. Now, how do you heal the altar? Well, you put proper worship upon the altar. You worship the God of Israel in the way that he said that he should be worshipped. And so then in 1 Kings 18:31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. So this is the second part of Elijah's ministry, is he's going to gather the 12 stones. He's going to prepare the people's hearts for the coming of the Messiah, whose work is to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. And so Elijah's ministry is going to be associated with proclaiming the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now we can see that this is understood to be the task of Elijah, and his ministry is to prepare the people for the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel by the Messiah, from the book The Messiah Texts by Raphael Patai.
Well, that's going to conclude part 12 of the series on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD Yeshua the Lawgiver for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.